I may stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good.
God is still good.
God is still good.
certain things that come around maybe once or twice a year. And this Thanksgiving season, you know, we push things on pause. We push the pause button and say, all right, it's time for Thanksgiving. But in reality, every one of us ought to be thankful every day. We ought to be, but sometimes, you know, and it's good. It's good to stop and to pause and just reflect and understand and realize where our blessings come from, because they don't come from below. They don't come horizontal. They come from above. And the Lord certainly sends in James 1:17, said, every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm thankful for our gifts, for our blessings, and we better remember our Creator and the one that gives us all the blessings that we have. But Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we're going to look this morning with the help of the Lord. It's the same text that I read last Sunday night where I preached on how to be a better church member. You want to be a better church member? All you got to do is follow what God has said in His Word. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You will be a better husband. You will be a better wife. You will be a better employer. You'll be a better employee. You'll be a better Sunday school teacher, a better choir member, a better deacon, a better preacher, whatever you do, a better church member if we're filled with the Spirit of God. It wasn't a suggestion that God laid out to us. It was a command. We're going to read it again. If you found your place, if you're able to, if you would stand with us and honor reverence to the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to begin reading in verse number 18, just a few verses here, and we'll bring the thought of the hour. This is where God is centered on our heart. I don't always preach it a Thanksgiving message or a Christmas message, but today the Lord has centered my heart around being thankful and thankfulness. But look at verse 18, and I believe this is part of the key to having a Thanksgiving spirit. Verse 18 said, be not drunk with wine, where's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now let's pray. Father, Lord, we're bowing our heads, God, again, humbly, one more time, just give you thanks for your goodness. Lord, we're reminded by the songs that were just sang by our choir. And God, I thank you, Lord. We got so much to thank you for, Lord, for those big blessings, the little blessings, every blessing that you give us. Lord, we just want to bow and say, give you thanks today, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the empty tomb. Thank you for a place called heaven. I thank you for the precious Word of God. Thank you for this place of assembly, Lord, you've established here on the side of the road. Thank you for every person that makes it up. And I pray, God, today, you'd be in the midst. If there's one that's lost, God, we just save them by your grace and power. I pray for that, for the needs of encouragement. Somebody just needs to be reminded of being thankful. I pray that you'd penetrate every heart. We'll give you thanks. We'll give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people see him. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. We read this text. Again, we preached last week about being a better church member. And, of course, it all hinges around verse number 18. Notice what God said. Again, it was not a suggestion. It was a command. He said, be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the great picture is this, and we can all sympathize with this. We can visualize this as a person that drinks an alcoholic beverage. They take that in. They begin to talk different. They begin to act different. They begin to behave different, think different, the whole walk different, whole nine yards. Why? They're living under that influence. God said, don't do that. He said, be not drunk with wine, where's the excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Once we get filled with the Spirit, oh yeah, we will start thinking different. We'll start walking different. We'll start acting different. We'll start behaving different. That's why I say you want to be a better church member. You want to be a better husband. You want to be a better wife. You want to be a better mom, a better dad, a better son, a better daughter. Then get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's where He has control of every area of our life. He wants control of that. But here's what will happen, Brother Harold. Sometimes we take those keys to our lives. Let's say our financial life. Well, Lord, you know, I'm going to give you every key in my life, but let me hang on to that financial key. No, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, there's some things that it requires, and it requires us fully volunteering every aspect of our life, our financial life, our marriage life, our working life, our business life, our dating life, you could go on and on. If there's a hidden area in your life, so you know what, Lord, you can have this, but I'm going to keep this. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But when you give Him every area of your life, and you submit unto His will, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I promise you, you'll be a better husband. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better leader. You'll be a better employer. You'll be a better employee. You'll be a better church member if you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, if we're continually filled. Now, we're moving on, though. The same context of this goes down. And look at verse 19. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I don't know anybody that wants to be miserable all the time. And I know a few that are miserable all the time, but I don't know if they want to be miserable all the time or not. But you know what? When you get filled with the Spirit of God, that can take that old gloom and that doom and that sadness away. Don't mean that all your problems go away. Don't mean that your circumstances necessarily change. But we can all have a happy heart when we get filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to be singing with those spiritual songs and making melody in your heart as unto the Lord. You remember that little bird, somebody talked about peace, you know, years ago, and this is sort of true when it comes, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody went in one day and they looked at that picture on the wall, and this artist was trying to describe what peace looked like. And man, he looked at these art galleries, and some was a picket fence, and with the sun shining, there was dandelions blowing, all those pictures describing peace, and a little child walking with her grandfather out on the seashore, and all those were pictures of peace. But then the artist or the guy come up, and he looked, and there was just a dark, gloomy picture, and the artist said, "This is the true picture of peace." So you're standing back and you're looking at that art gallery, and you see the thunder and you see the lightning bolts coming down on that painting, and you say, "Man, I don't understand what this is a picture of." And the artist says, "Well, listen, you missed the whole point. That picture that was displaying and trying to reflect true peace in the midst of the storm, there was lightning. You could just hear the thunder almost by looking at that painting. There was water that was brushing up against the rocks, and the waves were beating up. But in the cliff of that rock, Brother Ed, there was a little bird down there singing. And you could see the song notes coming up. And that's the true picture of peace." And when an individual, oh, listen now, when you get saved by the grace of God and you get filled with the Spirit of God, the storms of life might be raging around you. Hey, the lightning might be flashing. The storm might be raging. The thunder may be rolling on. But I'm glad in the cleft of the rock, I'm talking about in the Father's hands, you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You can still have melody in your heart when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's a true picture of peace, by the way. It's not the absence of conflict. It's in spite of the conflict, we can still have peace with God. And boy, the feeling of the Holy Spirit is so important. But I got to move. Notice verse number 20. Here's our thought. And again, the context of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He said, giving thanks. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think this has happened overnight, but I guess it's been in every generation. But it seems like we've arrived at a place, and it seems like it gets a little worse every year, of people being unthankful or unappreciative for all that the Lord is. I'm telling you, we really struggle in an age where we live with entitlement. I'm entitled to this, and I'm entitled to this, and folks have lost the concept of gratitude and thankfulness and appreciativeness of all that the Lord has done for us and all of us, probably at some point or the other. I mean, we'll get in that gripey mood, or we'll get in that complaining mood, and maybe you're more spiritual than I am. I'm just telling you, we struggle in that department. But think about this. It shouldn't take us by surprise. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, He's still coming. Amen. He ain't changed His mind. He's going to return in iron, which you think not. He's still going to come. But as we get closer to that day, the Bible let us know that it would be filled with unthankful hearts and unthankful days. How do you know? This is what God said, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." That word perilous means dangerous. We are living in a dangerous time, a dangerous age. Many of us can remember growing up when Granny and Pawpaw and Grandma, them never would lock the door. I mean, they left the door open. You didn't worry about alarms. You didn't have to have cameras. Now you got cameras. You just ask Brother Nick. You can ask anybody in law enforcement. Man, it gets worse and worse and worse with the crime rate. We're living in perilous times. That should not take us by surprise, because God told us it's going to be like that. The Bible said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Ain't been that long ago I preached on a selfaholic. What's that? That's somebody that's addicted to their self. There's people all around us that are hung on their self. Amen. And that's not right with God. But he said men should be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, wanting what somebody else has got. Boasters, look at what I've done. Now, man, it ain't what we've done. It's what he's done. Amen. Amen. Proud. That's one of the seven things that God hates, and listed several times in the Scripture. Blasphemers. It's amazing. You drive down the road. I hit this on maybe Wednesday or Sunday night one. I can't believe some of the blasphemy that's on the back of bumper stickers. I'm talking about blaspheming God. I mean, years ago, I mean, even a lost man would respect the house of God and church in the name of Jesus. Not anymore, man. We're getting closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said to be blasphemous, disobedient to parents. That's what God said. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse. But then, he says, unthankful and unholy. That's one of the signs of the end days, perilous times would come. Men will be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. God said leading up to his coming, there'd be the spirit of unthankfulness. And this week we celebrate here in the United States, we celebrate the Thanksgiving season. We push the pause button. Sometimes we eat, man, I hope it's more than just turkey and dressing and that red stuff, that cranberry sauce and sweet tea, and although I'm in favor and all that, especially if you throw in some beef and some of that corn. Yeah, some of that corn's pretty good. Some of those deviled eggs we talk about. You throw all those, all that's good. But if that's all Thanksgiving is to you, you missed it all.
Amen.
It ought to be a time to reflect back on the bountiful hand of Almighty God through another year. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, I've had a lot of problems this year. Well, listen, I can take you to a lot of people that's had more problems than you do, because there's a lot of folks love to be here that can't, and you got the ability to get up and walk in here today. You got something to be thankful for.
Amen.
Boy, as we reflect back, let's not be part of that crowd that's unthankful. Listen to this, Romans 1, verse number 20. Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. That was a picture of that crowd that had just drifted away and denied God. God eventually abandoned that crowd that was unthankful, unappreciative, did not have the right attitude or the gratitude. Remember those 10? You remember those 10 lepers that the Lord Jesus cleansed? And when Jesus cleansed them and healed them, only one of them turned around and gave thanks, Brother Ed. I wonder which part we would fall in. All that God's done for us, we fall in the 10% or the 90%. You see, there was 10 of them. Only one of them turned back. That was 10%. 10% gave thanks. 90% went on, and they enjoyed the blessings they had, but they never turned around and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your blessings on me. I'm telling you, you got to be careful. Even as a child of God, you got to be careful, because you'll get that that unthankful spirit, that ungrateful spirit, that unappreciative spirit, and man, you'll miss out on the joys that God has given us in this life. But here he said, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we can make have that singing in your heart and melody, those hymns, spiritual songs, all of that. But then he said, giving thanks for all things. Ain't that what it said right there in verse number 20? That's part of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. But it seems like we're living in that day where a lot of folks are unthankful and unappreciative and they're ungrateful. But there's three areas here that we need to look at. We're going to deal with communication. We're going to deal with continuation. Then we're going to talk about some concentration when it comes to thankfulness. I underline this phrase in verse number 20 where it says right there, giving thanks always for all things. I want to look at that phrase, giving thanks always for all things. Then you can add unto God. That's where our thanks should be reflecting. I'm all for. Listen, we ought to thank our moms. We ought to thank our dads. We ought to thank those that have helped us along life's road. But at the end of the day, we better thank God.
Amen.
He's the one that has allowed us to enjoy the blessings that we have. But what about communication of thanksgiving? What's that got to do with verse number 20? Notice he said, giving thanks. That has to do with communication. A lot of folks say, well, now, preacher, you know, I'm thankful in my heart. I'm thankful in my head. Well, listen, God give you a mouth to express that. Verbally. Sure, it's good mentally to be thankful, but you ought to express that verbally, giving thanks always for all things unto God. If you're thankful to God in your prayer time, you ought to speak to Him about it. You ought to testify to His goodness amongst the congregation or to lost people that God has been good to you. He gave us a mouth for a reason, to communicate, to articulate His praises unto men. But there's a communication of thanksgiving. The Bible puts it this way in Hebrews 13 in verse number 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name. Again, God wants us to verbalize His goodness. We ought to communicate. That's what He says there in verse number 2. Well, preacher, I don't always think. That's why you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You get filled with the Spirit of God. You can't help but give thanks unto God the Father with your lips verbally. He said giving thanks. So we ought to communicate thanksgiving. Listen to this. Psalm 50, verse number 14, said, offer unto God thanksgiving. You can go back as you study your Bible, Psalm 105, Psalm 106, and Psalm 107. Verse 1 starts like this in all three of those Psalms. All give thanks unto the Lord. Now, he said it three times in three books, Psalm 105, 106, 107. At the very first, all give thanks unto the Lord. Now, listen, when God tells us to do something one time, that ought to be enough. But when He tells us three times, all give thanks unto the Lord, we need to be reminded that it ain't just one time a year. We're going to push the pause, but now I'm going to thank You, Lord. We ought to do it every day. Amen. Yeah, man. And we ought to communicate that. Not only to one another. You know, God's been good to me. God's been good to us. We ought to communicate it to Him as well. Amen. Yeah, man. We ought to do that. There's a communication of thanksgiving. Now, thankful people, you could say they're controlled. You say, well, they controlled by, again, go back to verse number 18, be not drunk with wine, where's the next is, but be filled with the Spirit of God. We're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, and thankfulness is an evidence. It's one of those fruit of the Spirit, that we've got that thankfulness. You show me somebody that's critical, somebody that's unappreciative. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, that's just the way it is. You say, well, now, I'm right with God, but, you know, I'm not thankful. I don't have a grateful spirit. I'm critical in a lot of areas. Well, you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Because it doesn't matter what circumstances come your way. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can still find something to be thankful for. But a true thankful person, you say, man, they are control. You can see those where troubles have come, where problems have come in their life. And they still praise in the Lord God of heaven. How in the world can they do that? They're controlled by the Spirit of God. Not only are they controlled, but you show me a person that's thankful, not only are they controlled by the Spirit of God regardless of what they're facing, but they're also content. They're content. A lot of folks are not content. Amen. Day and hour in which we're living. I believe we ought to always be pushing forward for the cause of Christ at all costs, because there's lost people all around us dying without God. And again, God calls the church to do what we can to win the lost. But you see people that are thankful, they're controlled by the Spirit, but they're content with what God has given them. But somebody that just constantly wants more and more, never satisfied, that's a picture of somebody that's unappreciative, unthankful. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He goes on down to verse number 11. Paul was dealing with some things, and the church of Philippi gave continually over and over again unto Paul's need as he was on the mission field. By the way, that's still the purpose of the church today. We still are to give to missionaries. There's lost people that are dying without God all around us. Why do we do that? Because it's biblical. Paul received the church in Philippi the needs, and this is what he said in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know what I've asked God to help me with? Whatever state I'm in, Lord, help me be content. We ought to be content. Hey, if you break your arm, you ought to be content. You ought to be thankful. Could have broke your neck. Amen. I mean, you can always find something to be thankful for. Think about Brother Randy back there with his knee. Brother Randy and Sister Barbara, I mean, they got knee issues. There's a lot of people ain't even got a leg. I mean, you can all, and I didn't mean to just point y'all out, but I'm just saying, that's an example. There's always, you don't have to look for. All you got to do, if you ever get to feeling, this is one thing, and this really ain't part of the message, but I got to hit this while I'm here. A lot of folks get depressed, they get discouraged, and a lot of it is because they get to looking around and the devil convinces you that about all your problems, this, that, and there. But man, God's been good to you. And if you ever want to be encouraged, if you ever want to get rid of that unthankful spirit, here's what you ought to do. You ought to go get you some candy, go get you a little fruit cake or something at Food Line, and you ought to go to the nursing home. Just go to the nursing home. Just go in and what the first door you come to, just go in and take that in. Maybe take a little card. And I tell you what, you'll forget about your problems. Amen. Yeah, man. But I tell you what will happen. The old devil will allow you to have a pity party, and you and the devil's the only one that shows up. Amen. I've been there and done it, and I know what I'm talking about. But if you want to help somebody and you want to get out of that depressed mode, man, quit focusing on yourself. You go and you try to be a blessing to somebody, and you'll learn to be appreciative. And if that don't work, if you go to the nurse's home and say, well, I still got this old unthankful spirit, I tell you what, you call me, and you can go with me. I'll take my badge, and you can go with me into Brenner's Children's Hospital. Amen. And we'll walk the halls together. And it won't be long, honey. Amen. You'll be looking around, and you say, you know what? I really ain't got it that bad. Boy, the devil sure did convince me that I had it bad, but I really ain't got it that bad because you got it pretty good. I'm just simply saying, man, we ought to communicate those blessings. We ought to, and those that are thankful, they're controlled by the Spirit of God. They're content like the Apostle Paul was. Whatsoever state I am in, man, I want to be content. And once we get to that point, we ought to communicate verbally our thanksgiving. That's what he said, giving thanks. We ain't done. There's also the continuance of thanksgiving. What are you talking about? Look at that, the third word. Giving thanks when? Always. Giving thanks. There's the communication. We all do it verbally. Then the continuance, always. Whether you're up, whether you're down, whether it's early, whether it's late, whether it's raining, whether the sun's shining, always, continually, we ought to be thanking God. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Philippians 4:4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. 1 Corinthians 1:4 said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanksgiving should always be in season. Not just November, whatever day this is going to be, the 23rd, 24th of 2023. Man, Thanksgiving ought to always be in season. Why should I continually give thanks unto God? Why should I communicate and giving thanks verbally? And why should I do it always? Because think about this. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved by the grace of God. And I say to God be the glory. If you're saved, wonderful. If you're not, the Bible still said today is the day of salvation. I want you to know Jesus loves you. He can forgive you, not just part of your sin. He can forgive you of all your sin. You can punch your ticket by faith to a place called heaven. And you need to be saved. But if you are saved, why should I, as a Christian, communicate giving thanks? Why should I continually do it always? Because there's people in our hearing. There's people in our viewing that watch us. Now, Brother Ed, if me and you, if we walk around all the time, we talk about how bad it is. Amen. Everybody's against me. Everything's terrible. You know, we call them the cloud folk. You say, what's that? Some folks pop in a room, man, they're like a ray of sunshine. There's other people come in, they got a cloud around them. I mean, it don't matter what it is. You might be doing great. And by the time you get done listening to all that, man, you're dragging a leg spiritually, saving you. I'm telling it right, ain't I? That's the truth. But why in the world is me as a believer, and I'm not minimizing what people go through. Please don't misunderstand that. Why should I communicate verbally giving thanks? Why should I do it continually, always? Because if you're not praising God and you're always complaining, always unappreciative, always unthankful, always ungrateful, who in the world is going to want what you say you got in Jesus? Oh, man, we need the attitude of gratitude. Thankfulness, something we need to be reminded of. Not just to push pause one day a week. Man, it ought to be every day that we live. Look at this verse, giving thanks. There's a communication verbally, continually. Giving thanks when? Always. Watch this last part, though. The concentration for all things. Boy, all covers a lot of things. Do you know that? I just read you that verse a minute ago in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning everything and all things. Man, that covers it all, don't it? But he said we're to be thankful and we ought to concentrate. Yeah, there, the communication of giving thanks, we ought to do that, giving thanks verbally. And then he said always, and man, we need to understand we ought to do that continually. But then the concentration of thanksgiving is to thank God for all things. Think about this. There's five areas that we ought to thank God for. And there's more than that, but five really specific that we're going to hit on for just a minute. And we're going to the house. God sort of revealed this again to me, and I hope it's a blessing to you. But every one of us ought to thank God for our freedom. All five of these start with F. Brother Tony, we ought to thank God for the freedom that we have. I mean, how'd you like to be over there in Palestine? Over there in Gaza? With all that war and everything else, no peace. You never know when you're going to get blowed up. I mean, sure, we got problems here in the U.S., but it's still the greatest nation on the face of the planet. That crowd that don't believe that, man, I'm all for this. And some folks get offended by what I say, but that's exactly right. I'm all for, and they ought to put it in as a law. If somebody don't like it here in the United States, man, we ought to pay them a trip wherever they want to go, friend. But it's a one-way deal. I mean, we'll send them there, but the only thing is, you can't come back. I think with all the problems we got, all the issues we got in the United States of America, I don't want to live nowhere else. But man, freedom was not free. We just came through Veterans Day last week, and we really didn't have a lot of time to give our veterans and there's no way just with a handshake or recognition to appreciate all that they sacrificed and all that they went through so I could come here on a Sunday morning and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We could sing a song. We could open up the blessed Word of God, and we ought to thank God for the freedom that we have. I understand it's easy to do to get on the bandwagon, get talk about politics and how bad and how sorry representative. I get all that. But man, at the end of the day, thank God I lay my head down on my pillow and I'm thankful for the freedom that I have here in the United States of America. We leave and we depart here in just a little bit. We've got different places where we can go eat. We might spend time with family, but most time we ain't worried about getting blowed up. Why? Because of the freedom that we have here in the United States of America. The liberty. Thank God for America. We ought to concentrate and be thankful for those things. All things. Ain't that what he said? For all things. Giving thanks always for all things. You know, God said in Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. There's no denying God's had his hand on the United States of America. No doubt about it. We ought to thank God for that freedom that we have. It may even be in my lifetime. Some of the freedoms we've had have slipped away, and may even more in the coming days that the Lord tarries his coming. We better thank God. Concentrate on all things. Not just push pause one day a year. Again, Thanksgiving season ought to be all season, at every time, every day that we live. We all thank God for our freedom. But what about this? What about not only our freedom, but what about our faculties? What do you mean your faculties? You know what faculties means? That's the power to do. I'm talking about our faculties. I'm talking about our bodies. There's not a one of us in here that had to think 2 minutes ago or even a second ago, our heart beat. It's not in our control. It's not in our control. Well, now I got a pacemaker, preacher. We might sort of set that rhythm. We have no control over that heartbeat, Brother Randy. We ought to thank God for that faculty that we have with a heartbeat. You know those nerve endings? That soup was good last night. I put too much hot sauce in there. I put too much of that, those red flakes, you know, that's real, real hot. But you know what happened? What really got you was at the end when it cooled off, and I got tired of, I wasn't getting enough with the spoon. I just turned that bowl up, man, and just started drinking. But all that red stuff had risen to the top. So that was the first thing that got on my lips. And you know what? God has so designed us. It didn't take long, man. With those nerve endings, I don't understand all that. You got the taste buds, you can taste. I understand some of you got hit with COVID. Some of you still can't taste right. You can't smell right. But you know what? All these things that we have, the faculties that we have, just to be able to taste. Just although it was hot. That's why you got, thank God, some sweet tea and some water. And you can taste that too, man. The faculties, you say, well, that's small. We ought to thank God for the big things. We ought to thank God for the small things. We ought to thank God for all things. That's what it said right there. For all things, the faculty, to be able to see. Now, granted, I hold in my hand now a pair of glasses. 2 years ago, I didn't need them. I got to have them now, brother, to read. At night, if it's raining, and especially if somebody needs to send in a petition here in Yakin County, you go, if it's raining, although it hadn't rained in a while, it'd be good. We ought to pray for some rain on Tuesday. It's supposed to be coming. But if you leave here, especially since time has changed and it's raining a little bit, and you go up Flint Hill Road, you can't even see the lines on the road. And maybe some of you young people can, but I can't. Seems like every other road's got them little reflectors in the middle of the road. We ain't got none, I don't believe, down there. You can't see. Well, that happens, but you ought to thank God you can see the way that you can. You can talk, you can communicate, you can hear. The simple faculties of life. Man, that ought to be our concentration. Giving thanks, there's the communication. We ought to do it verbally. Always, he said, that's continually, whether you feel like it or whether you don't, because we represent Christ. There's people that are lost. If we got that unthankful spirit, why are they going to want what we got? But we ought to concentrate in for all things. We ought to thank God for our freedom. We ought to thank God for the faculties to be able to touch and to feel and to taste and to smell and to see and to hear. All of those things, we ought to thank God for it. What about this? We ought to thank God for our family. Oh, yeah. Thank God for the family that you do have. You say, well, my family ain't perfect. Well, join the crowd. There ain't no family perfect. That probably just burst somebody's bubble. Somebody thinks their family is perfect. Nobody is. Amen. We're all a work in progress. But you ought to thank God for your family. You say, well, my husband, he does this, that, and everything negative. Or you might say about your wife, everything negative. Everything about your kid, or everything about your parents, everything about your brother, everything about your children, everything about your church, what have you. Da, da, da. Why don't you thank God for what you do have? Amen. Yeah, man, it'll help you. Amen. Yeah, man, it'll help you. Thank God for your family. I've said this numerous times, and I'll say it again today. A lot of folks say, well, you know, I have a hard time saying I love you. Well, listen, don't wait too late to say that. Amen. Well, they know that I love them. Don't take that for granted. You ought to tell them. Hey, man, when's the last time you told your family, your kids, your husband, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters. When's the last time you said, hey, just want you to know I love you? Well, they know how I feel, preacher. Well, there'll come a time when you will not be able to communicate that with them. So you better say, I love you. And even on another note, when's the last time you told the Lord you love Him? You ever told Him that you love Him? Man, He loved you enough that He gave His life for you. Well, He knows. He wants to hear it. Hey, we ought to concentrate for all things, for the freedom that we have, the faculties, the family, for the food. We all thank God for the food that God gives. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 68, verse number 19? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Now, He gives us spiritual blessings, but He gives us physical blessings as well, man. I'm telling you, I believe those fillets, I believe they're just absolutely anointed.
Amen.
I do. That means, you know where that comes from? You say, well, that comes from that beef cattle. Well, listen, who you think gave us the beef cattle? It was God. Amen. He gives us the food to enjoy. We'll depart here in just a little bit. Now, some of you love Mexican. Some of you love Japanese. Some of you like Chinese. whatever trips you trigger. Some of you like chicken and steak. But here where we live in the area, most of us has got our choice. All right, we're going to go home. Maybe homemade biscuits. Maybe pintos, cornbread, all that stuff. Then this week, all the food you're going to enjoy. We've been blessed. We're blessed. But so why is it? Why is it that we're not always as thankful as we should be? Why is it that we're not always as appreciative as we should be? I'll tell you exactly why. Because we ain't always filled with the Spirit. We're filled with a lot of other things. In the context of this, he said, be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled, be controlled with the Holy Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves in spiritual songs and hymns and all those things. And then verse 20, giving thanks, communicate verbally, continually, always, for all things. We ought to concentrate on the freedom that we have, on the faculties that we have to see. And to, again, you don't have to look far to see folks that are less fortunate than we are. Thank God for your family. Thank God for the food that God prepares for you. You know, whether you're working or whatever in a work setting, man, one of the greatest testimonies you can have, put that food in front of you. Just, it might just be, you don't even have to say words sometimes. Just a simple blessing that God thank you for this food. Everything we have belongs to Him. Sister Caitlin's coming. I've asked her to sing this song this morning. But you know what I think about her faith I didn't even hit on? We ought to thank God for the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think about salvation. Starts with God, ends with God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. When's the last time you just thank God, you know, maybe privately, maybe publicly? Lord, just want to say thank you for saving my soul. Lord, just want to thank you for the family that you put me into. Just want to thank you for the job that I have. You know, sometimes we can say, man, I got to do this, I got to do that. But we all just thank God that we do have a job, that we do have a family, that we do have somebody that cares about us. We do have somebody that loves us. But there's a communication verbally. He tells us to praise Him, giving thanks. We ought to do it continually, always. We ought to concentrate for all things unto God as we stand all over the house.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.